Good morning again. Good to see you. It's good to live in America, isn't it? We've had so many blessings, so many freedoms, so many privileges that so many don't have. Kristen, I'm going to give you a break. Forget the big screen. There, she gave me the thumbs up, so she... But I do want the rest of you to get your Bibles ready. I'm going to be in John 8. And so if you've got your Bible, when I get there, I'm going to be in John 8. I'm going to pick it up with verse 30 a little bit. I'm going to set the stage just a little bit before I get there, though. I was reading a couple of weeks ago, and I saw... It might have been something one of you sent me. I don't remember, but... I saw this title, The Great Reset. And I asked you this before, but let me just check again. Have you heard of, are you somewhat familiar of the terminology of the phrase, The Great Reset? Some of you are, yeah, okay. So I saw this title, and in this particular one, it said this, and I quote, "Are you aware that there is a global movement seeking to reset our economy and strip people of their privacy and personal belongings?" End quote. So if you've not heard of the World Economic Forum, they have a webpage, and there's a ton of information on it. And within that web page, you will see the words, The Great Reset. What does that mean? It means there is this group of people, they meet in Davos, Switzerland from time to time, billionaires and such, that want to control the world. They want to control the economic part of the world, they want to control the spiritual part of the world, they want to control everything that you and I own today. I don't say that to try to scare you, that's on their webpage. As I read a couple of articles about that, and I was doing that in preparation because we're about to celebrate our 247th birthday of being free from that kind of oppression. And so I'm reading on their webpage, just curious again, reminding myself, what are they all about? And in an article on the World Economic Forum webpage, there's a title there. The title is this, COVID-19, the four building blocks of the Great Reset. So I read the article, I read the 4 points, and one would read that and one would think, COVID-19, the four building blocks of the Great Reset, one would think that might have almost been planned. Because in that, it says, the World Economic Forum Great Reset Initiative seeks new ideas in order to use this unique moment in history, COVID-19, provided by the disruption of economics, politics, and our everyday life, to catalyze a new approach to how our societies are run, end quote. That's their emphasis, to change how societies are run. Now, they don't care so much about the oppressed societies of the world already. They care about America and how America's run. They don't like it. They don't like the Christian church. There's all kinds of information on that webpage. All kinds of it. And much more about the how the World Economic Forum wants to take over the world, especially the United States of America, and our ways, our constitution, our capitalism, and the Christian church. America and the Christian church are in the way at this point. And so I'm reading all of that, and I'm thinking about the freedoms that we've enjoyed here. And I just got to thinking that how blessed we are to know the freedoms that we have enjoyed for so long. I don't know about you, I think you're in the same boat, but I love America. I know we're not perfect. I know that. You know and I know it. I know there's difficulties. There's sin. There's trouble. There's sadness. There's heartache. There's oppression. I know that. But we have enjoyed the bounty and the blessings of God for a long time, and I'm thankful for that. In 2 days, we'll celebrate our independence. And America will celebrate. I praise God for the opportunity, the freedoms to celebrate. But here's my point in setting the stage for the scripture in John 8 that I'm going to read in a minute. No matter how free or oppressed we are from world leaders or governmental leaders, every single person, America or any place else on the face of the planet, cannot be free completely outside of Jesus. Okay, that's what I'm setting up this word picture, if you will, about there is oppression, there has been oppression, there are powers to be that want to control the world, so nobody is really free but under their thumb. All of that stuff has been, is in place, and they want even larger in place. But the key that I want us to understand today, and these are going to come from the words of Jesus, we are never free until we come to Christ. Regardless of governmental status, regardless of our heritage, our nationality. And so, in the earlier service, I didn't read top to bottom. I'm going to this time. These set of verses, I'm in John chapter 8, if you've got your Bible, beginning at verse 30. I'm going to read these verses and talk to us about the freedom that Jesus offers. As he was saying these things, I'm in John chapter 8, verse 30. As Jesus, he was saying these things, many believed in him. He's speaking to a Jewish crowd. So Jesus said to the Jews, John writes, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, in other words, subscribe to what I've been telling you. If you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You see, he had proclaimed to them the truth. And he said as much, I am the truth. And so he had proclaimed to them the truth. And he's saying to these Jewish listeners, if you will continue in my word, what I have told you, what I have offered to you, then you are my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, he launches into this part of the dialogue because this was important for the Jewish people to understand what he's saying. Here's what he said. Here's what they said first. We are descendants of Abraham, they answered him, and we've never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say you will become free? Jesus responds, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. He's talking directly to them. Heritage and nationality aside, everyone who commits a sin is a slave to sin. That's all of us, by the way. The Bible reminds us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then he said, a slave does not remain in the household forever, but a son does remain forever. What's he talking about? Stay with me, stay with him. Therefore, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. They were hanging their hat on, I am a descendant of Abraham, I am Jewish by heritage, I am already free. And he said, not in sin. Not in sin, we're not free. And we could say the same thing about our religion, our denomination, or our nation. Well, I'm American, for heaven's sakes, I'm free. And he's telling them, until we come to Christ, he's telling us, until we come to Christ by faith, until we repent of sin, until we believe on the Lord Jesus and commit to follow him, he talked to them about continuing in his word. Then is when we are really free. And so they've got this preconceived notion, I am already free because I'm a Jew. And Jesus said, nobody's free when you're still in the sin. Nobody, regardless of denomination or nationality or heritage. Therefore, if the Son, it's all about Jesus. Are you hearing me this morning, friends? Our freedom is all about Jesus. If the Son sets you free, you really will be free. Sherry and I got to be part of the Teen Challenge graduation on Thursday night. And Sam, the director, was talking to them about freedoms and is reminding them, and I get to do chapels there every now and then, and I remind them of the same things. Freedom from addiction is wonderful and beautiful, but there's more. There's a freedom in Christ that is transformational. There's a freedom in Christ that means everything. And Sam emphasized that again to the graduates and to the rest of them that night. Jesus is saying the same thing. He says, I know you are descendants of Abraham. Verse 37, same chapter. I know you're descendants of Abraham. I know that. And I'm going to read his words, but I'm going to interject here. But when there's sin that leads you, you're not free. And so he says, I know you're descendants of Abraham, but you're trying to kill me because my word is not welcome among you. They didn't want to hear what he had to say. They didn't subscribe to what he had to say. They didn't embrace him for who he said he was. And he said, I know you're descendants of Abraham. I get that. But when we're still part of the sin category, we can't be set free and we can't be his true sons and daughters. I know you are descendants of Abraham, he said, but you're trying to kill me because my word is not welcome among you. I speak what I have seen in the presence of the Father, therefore you do what you have heard from your father. Our father is Abraham, and that's what they're hanging their salvation on. Their freedom on. And the conversation continues. I'm not going to take any more time to read that. You know the story, I think, as well as I do. My point is this. Friends, we can live in the greatest nation on earth, and I personally think we have had the privilege and blessing to live on the greatest nation on earth. God has blessed us. And we've enjoyed these freedoms to go to school and go to work and go to church and do all of these wonderful things, go on vacation, celebrate on Tuesday, the 4th of July. We've had all these blessings and freedoms. But until we come to Christ, until we repent of sin, until we commit to his word and to follow Jesus, we're not free. That's what he's trying to tell these people. We can argue about this or that all day long. But Jesus is clear, true freedom comes from his disciples who are obedient followers of Jesus. Amen? We're going to have a baptism Sunday in 3 weeks. I love baptism. But we don't gain our freedom from water. We don't gain our freedom with water. We gain our freedom in Jesus. We're going to celebrate baptism, and people are going to show you, I've put my faith in Christ. They're going to show you that by being baptized. But we don't gain our freedom by the water. We gain our freedoms by faith in Christ. We don't even gain our freedoms by going to church. I think that's good for us, and I think baptism is wonderful. But Jesus is clear to those Jewish listeners that day, your freedoms only come in and through Jesus. I've read many accounts of people in prison, and one particularly on death row, that when he was offered the gospel message of Jesus Christ and he embraced that wholeheartedly, his words were very simply, I may be enclosed by bars and cement, but I'm finally free. That's what Jesus is talking about. The freedom in Christ. I've read many accounts in Voice of the Martyrs and other places about Christian believers in communist countries. They're not free to worship it the way we are anymore. In many of those places, North Korea, China, Russia, many communist countries, they're not free like we are from the government oversight and oppression. But when they come to Christ, they say the same thing. We are truly free. That's what Jesus is talking about. That kind of freedom that every one of us can know in and through Christ. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Freedom in Jesus is real. Even if there's prison bars that hold us, freedom in Christ is real. And it's a beautiful thing. Does it make us perfect? Of course not. But the freedoms that we can know in Jesus Christ are real. So, let me close this and get ready for communion by saying this. We will celebrate in America this week our freedom from governmental control of another country's rule over us. We will celebrate 247th birthday. Praise God for that. But I want us to never overlook the need to be truly free, because that only comes in Christ. Amen? That only comes in and through Jesus Christ. And so if you're not sure about that, or you're not sure you're even free in Christ, I would welcome a conversation with you anytime. I have conversations with people online all the time. I answer questions. I look up scripture. I try to give them some things to study. And if you're not sure about that freedom, then you come see us or send us a message or a text, and we can talk further about what Jesus said about what freedom truly is. Okay, now we're going to prepare for communion. And so I'm going to read a little bit of scripture from 1 Corinthians. I've read this scripture many times for you in preparation for communion. But it's important for us to know what the Apostle Paul said in preparing our hearts for the communion elements. Here's what the Apostle Paul said. 1 Corinthians 11, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks, he broke it, and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he, that's Jesus, also took the cup, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant established by my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So we do this periodically. We take these elements as Jesus instructed to remember who he is, to remember what he's done, to remember the love of God. But God demonstrates his love towards us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. To remember that, to remember the sacrifice. "Do this as often as you drink it," Jesus said, "in remembrance of me." And then Paul writes, For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And therefore, he says this, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy way will be guilty of sin against the body and blood of the Lord." What does that mean? Do I know Christ as Lord? Does sin still dictate who I am? That's why Paul says we shouldn't come in an unworthy way. We should come having examined ourselves, having put our faith and trust in Christ, having repented of our sin. He says, so a person should examine themselves. In this way, he should eat the bread and drink the cup. For whoever eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. This is why many of you are sick and ill, and many have even fallen asleep. And so what we're going to do is simply take a moment of silent prayer, just you and the Lord. Examining ourselves, coming to the communion table, having examined ourselves, having trusted Christ as Savior and Lord, we partake of it together to remember what he's done for us, to remember God's love, to remember the sacrifice of Jesus. Let's pray. Let's take a moment to examine ourselves. Our Father and our God, thank you for forgiveness of sin. Forgive us, Lord, in America. There's a lot of things, even though we've enjoyed these beautiful freedoms, there's a lot of things in America that we've sinned against you. Forgive us for that. Forgive us even in the church, Lord, when we have gone wayward or sinned any way against you or our brothers and sisters. Forgive us for that. Forgive us as individuals, Lord. Forgive me and us for sin that might still linger in our hearts, in our minds, in our bodies. Forgive us, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving your life, giving your body, shedding your blood for our sin. Not so that we could keep sinning, but that we would be free from sin. Thank you, Jesus, we can be free in you. Free from the penalty and the bondage of sin. Thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross. Thank you, God, for loving us to the point of sending Jesus to the cross. And so, Lord, we've examined ourselves today. We've confessed Christ as Lord. We've believed in our heart that he is God. He is God incarnate. He did die for our sins. He is Lord. He was resurrected from the dead. We believe it, Lord. We subscribe to it. We embrace Jesus as Lord. And we take these elements today remembering what you have done for us, O God. So thank you for the privilege to take of the bread and the cup to remember your love, remember the sacrifice of Jesus. We take them simply today to remember. And once again, say thank you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. I've got a couple of helpers lined up here to help me distribute. Come on up, fellas. And we're gonna simply hand out to you the elements, and we'll partake together. So we'll hand out to you the bread and partake of that together. Then we'll hand out the cup, and we'll partake of that together also. As I read from Scripture, on the night of his betrayal, Jesus took the bread, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said to them, "This is my body, broken for you. As often as you do this in remembrance of me." Thank you. Bible also says, after supper, he took the cup and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink this cup, do this in remembrance of me. Let's stand together and sing our closing hymn. Thank you again, Lord, for this day and this week we celebrate our freedoms in America. Thank you for the words of Jesus that remind us our true freedom, our ultimate freedom, our eternal freedom comes in and through Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Go with each and every one today, Lord. Bless this day, bless this week, bless their week. And for those, Father, that are caught up in things that they're not free yet, will you help them to find their way to Jesus and to freedom? For those that just hurt from other things, will you walk with them, Lord? And will you use us today, tomorrow, this week, and always as our youth go on a missions trip, but us in everyday living, will you use us, Lord, to be salt and light for Jesus? Living for Jesus, loving you with all of our soul, our heart, and our might, and loving our neighbors as ourselves. Will you use us, Lord, to be the hands and feet of Jesus in everyday living? Go with each and every one now. Help them to have a wonderful day and a wonderful week, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.